Thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone. I appreciate everybody coming out to the waterways. What do we officially call it? The Shoaling Task Force. So I'm Mike Gay. So we'll go City Council District 2, and we'll go around and we'll start on this side with Mr. Jeff and do introductions.
Jeff Clements, Council Research.
Adam Hoyles with the Environmental Protection Board.
Mark Devereaux on the River Commission.
Mark Hardesty, Waterways Commissioner.
Jim Suber, Waterways Coordinator.
One on this.
Jerry Pinto, Jacksonville University.
Glad everyone could be out this morning. And moving forward on this, this getting started with the new group here. A lot of it's going to be getting me up to speed on exactly where we're at and what we need to do, what we need to accomplish, and keep the ball rolling that's already started rolling. And so I'm definitely going to be looking and leaning on y'all's wisdom and come together and in a unified manner to get this issue resolved. So with that being said, moving forward, in regards to the shoaling, are there any new developments that we need to go ahead and be brought up to speed on? Yeah, I mean, Brian, if you want to, both of y'all, if y'all want to sit up here at the table, and we're going to be. Inquiring and getting everybody's input on this. So
we got another chair and a mic here.
Good morning, Brian Burkett, Parks Department. So I just wanted to give you an update on where we're at with the installation of the safety hazard buoys around the shoal to mark it as a navigational hazard. So, as you know, there was legislation that was passed for the funding. Right. We moved forward with the contracting, and it's still in contracting, but we're expected to come shake forth pretty soon. And then once they have the contract, then they'll submit the permit applications, get the green light to actually deploy them, and then the installation. So it's still in process. I don't have a definitive date on when they'll be installed, but I would anticipate by the end of the year is my expectation.
So the administration have they signed contracts yet, or are we still in the contract signing process?
We're still in the contract development phase, right? So there's multiple steps, through procurement rules that we have to follow. So we used a continuing contract with our marine contractor, a marine construction contractor, Hal Jones, and it was been awarded to them, and the contract amendment is now underway. So that, again, that usually takes a couple of months, unfortunately. We just had another one come through for a different project, the Arlington River slow speed zone that we had talked about in waterways. So that contract just came fully executed. So I expect this one to be right behind it. So as soon as that comes forward, I give them the green light to move as fast as they can so we can address
in the discussions
concern.
With Hal Jones, have they kind of give any time frames, these beacons? There's not going to be no delay on getting them because the material is such a...
The materials are readily available. The wild card is the permits. They still have to get the final approval from the permitting agencies. But for an issue like this, I think it would be relatively quick compared to some of our other permitting projects. So, again, I'm optimistically thinking by the end of the year. And as I get, further updates, we can certainly share them.
Is that permitting, is that an Army Corps permitting or...
Usually it goes through DEP, and some things are delegated to DEP from the federal side. There's a nationwide permit. I'm not sure if this falls under that or not. But we go through DEP, and if they have to get consultation, then they'll get that consultation. But also the Coast Guard wants to know where any kind of markers in the waterways are. And
so I guess the hope you're saying is by the end of the year.
To hopefully be in the water, it deployed is my that's my educated guess, I guess, is the best way to put it. FWs probably so, yeah.
That's my remembrance of where we had past meetings was that really it was more of a state focus.
Yeah.
Than any of the federal stuff because they turned a blind eye onto it right from the get-go.
Sure.
The Coast Guard, I mean, they may want to know where the markers are, but
yeah.
They want nothing to do with it. You know, I'd be surprised if suddenly they do at this point. So I think it's a state FWC thing is what the lieutenant, was it lieutenant captain, came and explained to us.
Right, yeah. And when we go to DEP to talk about our pre-application permit, then they'll advise us, you got to go check these boxes sort of thing. So
I was, you know, just say that we're shooting for by the end of the year, but we definitely need it before the spring. Well, we think that's far away, but
right.
But
yeah, time keeps on rolling.
By the time everything gets signed off on permits, and then hopefully the markers are still readily available, that we can definitely have them, you know, by the end of February be a drop-dead date that we really need them in the water, because there's a lot of boat activity that comes through there to the restaurants and all right in there. So I'd really try to make certain we get it done by the end of February, but be great by the end of the year, but kind of being realistic. Yes, sir.
Is there a way to bifurcate the process, Brian, at all, as far as pursuing the permit approvals while you're getting the bureaucratic contract stuff out of the way?
We can certainly have the conversation with Hal Jones, but then they're doing work without a contract in place. So that's kind of, you know, it's their comfort level. I mean, obviously, we're good partners with them.
It's
but
a continuing contract, so, I mean, they got that assurance.
Right, yeah. So I'll have that conversation with them.
Player design build, I mean, the engineers and the contractors are going to put them in the same contract working together. So what company is it works with them?
Ed Morales.
He'll do all the permits. So
that's why they probably would want to wait before they issued them, or they would issue Ed Morales a contract to start the permit application. So
yeah, again, I can have a conversation with them, see what we can do to kind of tee it up, so once the contract's in place, they've got the permit applications ready to submit. Right.
Express to them our concern is that, yeah, I'm comfortable with the end of the year, but you know, things fall back and delays hit, and then, you know, we've got the next boating season right on top of us. So appreciate that. Any more comments from anybody on that issue? All right, the outline I kind of done here was about the what we're discussing, the shoal formation. Have we, I guess, with an educated guess, been able to define exactly where we think the breach is taking place?
As far as I know, there's a study going on that will give us some bathymetry on the area, but no, nothing prior to that. Unless through Brian's endeavors, they have determined, you know, some kind of depths and soundings and positioning of buoys and that kind of thing. But that's still being worked out, maybe.
Right, yeah. No, they haven't done any No, part of it they will do, you know, look at the bathymetry of the specific area, but as far as the breach of the source, I mean, they're not going to go, you know, beyond where the existing shoal is. So the shoaling study or the marker study or the marker deployment project is purely looking at that specific area. So I think that's different from your question.
Are they still utilizing the dredging where the breach?
They're not. That's what I was going to say. That's what I wanted to say about this is that if they're not actually doing work and utilizing the system, dropping them is going to be of no value to us because until that's running actually like it full speed like it does when this happens, we're just wasting the little balls. I mean, without a better word for it. But so we got to wait until even when we go and get this thing going, we still have to wait until the Army Corps actually does another dredge project in that basin and that project, the way I see it. So maybe Mark sees it differently.
Chair, I've just got a few comments. One is, I'm no expert, but I've got eyes, and I can sort of figure it out. It's sort of seeing is believing. So if everyone knows the site where we have the dredging spoil going, correct? Okay. If you go out to the water, there are 2.5 or so in diameter black pipes coming out. What those pipes are for is when it rains or the dredge water is, because they're pumping the dredge up into the basin, and then they have to do it with water, and then that extra water has to come out, and so it comes out through that. One problem, Captain, I see on waiting is that they could be dredging from a different location because that is not only used for the Marine Corps location, I don't believe. Right now I can tell you the dredging is not going on at this point. However, if we have heavy rains,
is dedicated to the Marine Corps Back River area is my understanding that it's U.S. government property and that it is not commingled with the other port projects.
That would be absolutely fantastic because then we have the same source.
Right.
And then so if that happens, but even now in a heavy rain, water comes out. And I, as a simplistic thinking, I was wondering if I couldn't construct a catch cage, so to speak, put a screen, because once the water comes in, they're not going to just open their gate and let me go and climb up and grab soil. So, but once they discharge it, it's like in the law, once you put your garbage on the side of the road, you've abandoned it. Well, when this water comes out, and that's where we really need to see it, that the water's coming out. But you can actually, we had a heavy rain, if we had, that sometimes comes this time of year, you can stand at that site, and you can actually see the current. It's amazing that the sand, you can sort of see it in the water, and the way you can just watch that little trail of current going along past the Palms restaurant, underneath the bridge, and it takes a close turn. And so I'm not a rocket scientist, I'm not a brain, surgeon, but it's sort of like that's where it is. And I can just tell you this, I know in that regular area of the river, if you were not at where the spoil site is and you got in and jumped in with your shoes, you might get your foot out, but the shoes stay in. It's muck. It is not sand, but I've seen neighbors going out onto the spoil site jokingly with lawn chairs and sitting there. And
Oh, it's definitely solid sand.
It's solid sand, and that's just something that's not from that area. And for somebody to say the sand's going to come from, I don't know, Fort George Island and somehow make it there, I think is you know, never going to float. But when you actually see it and just videotape it. So I had an idea of putting some type of catch basin so I can catch the water coming out. But I'm going to have a third person do this that can get on the stand, because they're going to, you know, I need like an independent person to say yes, to testify. This sample, it's almost like DNA. You've got a known and an unknown, and I've got to prove that this unknown, our spoil site, is from the known being come from the dredge site. So I need somebody that, I know when they do, and I'm not sure what the term is, but when they do, they shove a pipe in the ground when they're going to build a house, and they do testing, core sampling.
So geotech.
So is some company that would, that does that type of thing? I mean, I know they probably say it's sand or it's good sand, you know, but can they actually compare sand? So if we got a sample from coming out of the tubes, we get a couple samples from the spoil site, and then go maybe 100 yards or whatever in that same area and take samples there. We GPS it to show exactly where it came from. Each one, we mark each one scientifically. We know this one came from, you know, spot A, spot B, spot C, that is totally outside the spoil site, and have those compared. The only other thing I was thinking is that, you know, how, sorry, my throat. You know how they end up putting dye in the water there in Chicago, and I think they do it up in Savannah. If I poured that dye, I'd probably get arrested. But if I poured that dye there, I'm thinking it would follow that exact current area, and I could put, except you can't have a drone near there because it's too close to a military reservation. There's the Hull's Law. But somehow accidentally see it, you know, from the sky, that it's just trailing right along the edge of Little Marsh Island, right over the spoil site. Well,
Mike, if I may?
Yes,
yeah, sir. Mark, all the concepts that you're talking about are actually addressed by the study that Dr. Stocker has designed, and it's not exactly the way you had conceived it, but that the principles are the same, and this is kind of how you would do it professionally. And that's actually one thing I'd like to talk about. I don't mind talking about what he's proposing, but I feel like we've kind of heard that presentation, and what I would like to move on to is, like, how are we going to get him started and get him funded? To get it kicked off, because I think Captain Suber mentioned that, you know, we really need to be thinking about doing this when they're dredging. Maybe there's some value in doing it when they're not dredging, but I know from my own work in the industry, about every other year they dredge that basin. So if we tee up funding now and coordinate with the Marine Corps base, which we would have to do, we would know exactly when they're planning on, you know, putting material in that basin. And, you know, Dr. Stocker could do a very definitive study to figure out what's coming out and where's it going.
Would it be advantageous to do the comparison of when they are dredging and when they're not dredging? Yeah,
that would be a Dr. Stocker question.
Yeah, Dr. Stocker, Jacksonville University. We've thought about this as a sort of two different scenarios, or two different sort of states of the system. The passive state, where we're essentially overflowing the system during rainfall, where they have to maintenance and drain the basin. And that could lead to some sediment movement, especially towards the end of the system around the pipes, which may be finer grained. That's something we still have to figure out how the system looks entirely inside. And then there'd be the active during the dredging. Now, the trick there is during dredging, I mean, you guys know this more than I do because you've probably seen it firsthand, the pipe system that moves from the dredge site to the spoil pile, there can be leakage all along that system. So that would be, you know, we would have to somehow put tracer in the area being dredged, right, to see if it shows up along that length, and then in the system itself. So it would make it more complex, not impossible, but a little bit more complex in how we'd have to approach the placement of these tracer drains. Now, one thought I just had in my head is we put one color in during passive, right? We put yellow in during passive times, and we watch that move through. That means that when we see yellow grains show up in the microscope on the shoal system, we know that it's being passively moved there. We could put a different color in during dredging. My one thought is you put the dredge material in the spoil pile, and they start dumping tons of spoil on top of it. That material may never get pushed up and pushed out. It may just get buried. So there's going to be some delicacy in placing it, but I don't think it's impossible. But that's one thought to if you wanted to work out the difference between the passive leakage and the active leakage. And it could be something where, you know, 20% of the shoals being built during passive times, 80% shows up during these active times.
Right.
And that's something that, you know, that's a more nuanced approach to try to prevent shoal growth. If they can shut down leakage during the pumping times, that means the shoal will grow much slower, right, because that material is not being provided. The thought about not just doing sediment size, that's something we would do initially just to figure out, you know, is this sediment look like the sediment we're seeing in the shoal? To play devil's advocate, that sediment could come from anywhere, right? Because they're pumping it from one area into that basin, it may look very much like material coming out of Clapboard Creek further east or west, in which case we couldn't determine, you know, legally you wouldn't be able to determine whether it was from any of these sites unless you did what we're talking about and you know, put a fingerprint on that exact site to see if those materials show up. So in that way, it would be great to have this all ready to go with the green light for when the dredging started, because then we could move and see what the active leakage would be. Then there's the passive leakage during a hurricane that dumps 14 inches. I'm sure there's material that has to come out of there. It's just physics, right? It's not going to be able to all stay in there and be contained, right, simply because there's too much water flushing the system. That's the trick of all of this is timing, too.
Okay, so the from my understanding, right now we are not doing any active study out there, correct? All right, so have y'all been able to compile what we need funding for, the amount we need funding for, and has that been presented?
Yeah, we've provided an updated study plan to try to get this into pieces. So that budget we've submitted and is ready to go. Essentially, whenever the green light happens, we can start acquiring the material and doing the pre-mapping stuff that we need to do.
So you need to go ahead and acquire material prior to the dredging activity. To be honest, I have not seen any of the requests for the funding. I would like to get that so I can start running that up the flagpole. It's kind of if it's not being pushed, it's
well, at this point, it's just been a presentation. It was an explanation, a presentation, and then it was a budget conversation, and he's got a budget with specific items already worked out. So really, I would think that out of this meeting, it would be interesting to see if we could come up with a recommendation to proceed or something, you know, because he broke it into three phases. And if we could have a plan to fund that through the city, I don't know how that happens. I don't know what bucket that comes out of. Maybe Brian can shed some light on that. Maybe he can't. I don't know. Maybe this is a general fund thing. But
I would definitely want this projected budgets, how it's broke down, and then we can start going and seeing what we can arm wrestle out to be prepared. Because the last thing we want they're starting dredging next month, and we're behind the eight ball again. And so, if you could get that forwarded to me, and I'd like to see about go ahead and taking some action on that.
If I can, there is a delay. I mean, there is a lag time involved in getting the colored particles that we need. And I can't remember what they said, maybe 3 months.
Maybe 3 months, but they could probably speed it up if they needed to.
Yeah, so there are some issues with getting material. There's some timing issues.
I like to be proactive, and let's get ahead of it and be prepared. Yes, sir.
This committee's going to just frustrate you to death because we have been at this and chewing on this for a year and a half, 2 years. One thing is generally when they do the dredging, they do it this time of year. It happens every fourth Florida Georgia game. I mean, is when it happens. And my understanding when I talked to the folks last time that were the dredgers was that there was not going to be one this year. It was going to be next year. It was, as I think you said, Adam, biannually.
The other year.
Yeah, or every other year.
To correct me and understand, so we're looking, they typically do it every around October, November.
Yes.
Threshold. Okay.
Yeah. It lines up with the federal budget and the contracting season for the federal budget.
New budget.
And okay. It's not subtle when it happens. It when they, it absolutely froths up, and I mean there are billows of that white foam that go all over the river, and you can literally watch the, and that's the other thing, you can watch that foam as long as the wind is not, you know, redirecting it, you can watch that foam travel that path that was discussed earlier as well. So there's some visual markers potentially for all that, but we're going to need some serious lead time from the results we've gathered so far in this commission. So, time's of the essence to get that funding, to get that medium, and that sort of thing, and get this thing kicked off. He has to do a ton of stuff in order to prepare for this thing to roll out.
Yeah, so the first things we'd have to do is pre-sampling. We'd have to go in before anything's happening, right. Take cores everywhere, figure out what the sediment material looks like, ship that off to the United Kingdom where they make the material. It would take about 3 months for them to make material that matches exactly the grain size of the material we'd be looking at. And then they ship that back to us, right? And that's 1 ton of material. It's not a small amount. And then even moving that by truck to the area is going to be, you know, logistics to get that in place and then get enough students out there with shovels to be getting to where it needs to go. So it is, yeah, the lead time, it'd be nice to have, if we had everything in place, you know, even 2 months before they start doing the dredging, that'd be nice to have the logistics all worked out so we could just.
So realistically, we're looking at a, we've got a 10-month window to have it.
Get it.
To be on go.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So, Doc, is the deployment of the actual materials, what is your plan or your mindset on where and how that would be deployed in the system? In other words, we would have to get the company to authorize this study.
Right. Yeah. So ideally, yes, we'd want to put it directly into the spoil system.
And that's where we're still going to need the Army Corps locally here and the Marine Corps, as well as probably possibly even DEP in this line of approval process.
Yeah, there's going to be some permitting that has to happen. As I can tell you, that's not a fast process.
Has anyone had any conversation with, I have met the current, he's a Marine colonel that's head of the Marine terminal at Blount Island, and just see if they will allow us on to do this, or is it, have we said, Mother, may I, you know, see? Because I have spoken with another individual. People here on the board might recall, and Captain Subri, you might recall, it was probably 6-8 months ago, we had a gentleman that was from South Florida that was an expert in dredging, and he was familiar with that site, and told him after our meeting, I sort of went on to him, and I started telling him what the issue we had. And he absolutely said, that spoil site is full. I mean, it's to the capacity, and they're just adding more stuff on it. And so that's, I think, also part of the problem.
Correct.
And so, but, I mean, again, being simplistic, and I know, you know, where you drop the dye or whatever goes in. Heck, I was thinking of, you know, because it's just, I try to have fun whatever I do. And I was thinking of getting those little yellow plastic duckies and sticking them there and see if they go right over the spoil site. And I'm telling you, my dollar would be betting yes. I mean, that's pretty simple because I don't know if the Army Corps is going to let us on without some kind of court order. And to get that, we'd have to be filing a lawsuit.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Oh, that. But, you know, I don't know if they want to say, yeah, we'll cooperate with you, or else they're just going to throw up a fence. And how are we going to get the permission to even get onto that hill? It's all fenced. It's locked. I don't know.
Both congressional members have from this area have indicated their support to find out this issue, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, either they're telling us straight up they're going to help us, or they're, you know, doing a politician thing. At any rate, so we got congressional. I would think congressional oomph would be able to get us in a base. Would be. For this kind of thing. I mean, this is an environmental study, and if the Marine Corps is so environmental as they, you know, tout to be, then, you know, here we go.
Well, if I may, I do know the environmental manager over there. I could give her a call and see how she suggests we would proceed, unless somebody else has another connection another way. But I'm just thinking asking nicely might be the best way to start.
So that's where we've already had some initial conversations, and Dr. Pinto can talk to this too, because I believe you sent your email to the, I believe you sent it directly to the base manager.
Yeah, well, I can't remember the names of the folks involved, but they're on my email list. So I contacted Army Corps, got an email back straight away saying contact our attorney. And but the Marine Corps was a little bit more interested in the study, because we kind of framed it that, you know, this stuff is going back in your basin that you're having to dredge again, and if you can prevent that, it's going to save you some money. And they seemed interested. They had some questions about some of the aspects of our proposal, and I think they were open to trying to get together to kind of discuss that and talk about how we might work together to address some of their concerns. And so that was very favorable, actually, thinking about it. But that's as far as I know. I don't know, maybe
no,
Dr.
I think
Stalker
the,
can say
the next
something.
Plan is to try to, well, that group, I believe it's actually the environmental managers within that group, is to have them to JU, just to have a meeting, sit and talk about what the plan is, what the problems are. And then, I mean, I got the impression that they weren't going to prevent us from doing this study. They just wanted some input on how it's going to be done, because they've done these sorts of projects before, so they probably can add some, you know, pitfalls, things they've run into before. I'm hoping it is a very positive conversation. Again, it doesn't sound like the Army Corps is interested. It doesn't seem to me that they're interested in funding anything, but it also doesn't seem like they're going to block it from happening.
Right. And I can start the legwork with getting with the congressional representatives to kind of get them on board with us, or make sure they're on board with us to help get us that avenue that we need. Now, your study proposal doesn't kind of include going into evaluating the spoil pile to look at the capacity of it, and, you know, what, as soon as they start dredging, you know, it's going to, is it going to overflow it? You know, what impacts are? So you plan on addressing that?
So I'm not an engineer, so I'm not going to go in and check the amount of spoil pile. And again, you walk into someone's house and start touching everything, they get very annoyed. So I think the idea is to go in and just focus on the sediment and focus on what it looks like, and then put our material in and then see if that's the material coming out. Speaking to whether it's, you know, out of its lifespan or full probably isn't going to be, I don't think that would be very, what's the word?
Neighborly.
Not even neighborly, not very productive in terms of our doing the study in the end. I think that those are conversations that can be had once we've determined whether this thing is a source for the shoal or not.
I was just trying to understand exactly what.
Yeah,
what,
understand what the system's doing, and then talk about how to fix it.
Okay. Councilman, also the our veteran or our military affairs office liaisons could probably get a direct contact with the base commander there, and I think that's always to get him or her on board from the beginning. So they may be able to help us there.
Yeah, so we're looking at the Army, what I got down here, the Army Corps, Marine Corps, are the two corps that we will need to.
I would think the Marine Corps would be the lead agency. I think ultimately the Corps owns the dredge pile, but I think in terms of management and day-to-day and access, it's going to be the Marine Corps.
Yeah, I would
agree. So if we can get a hold of the commander there, we're barking up the right tree, at least.
And I think they're well aware of what's going on, simply because in several of the emails, they are following these meetings very closely. So I think they're well aware of the conversations that are happening and what the plans might be.
Which kind of begs the question, would our next meeting, assuming we have one, be with them? Maybe we meet invite them and see, you know, maybe Dr. Stalker, you could give your presentation and, you know, lay out your budget and all of that. And that way you're providing the budget information in your presentation to current leadership. And you're also providing it to the Marine Corps. And then we can just have a conversation. Hey, here's what we're thinking. How do we make it happen? I think one way or another, the city's going to end up paying for it. But I mean, once we've figured out where this material is coming from, then we can start figuring out, does the federal government pay for it? Does the city pay for it? Like, that's the expensive elephant in the room, is removing that pile and preventing its reformation. That's the expensive part. This, by in terms of scale of spending, this is peanuts by comparison to the solution. And ultimately, the Marine Corps and the Army Corps will drive the solution part of it.
And I agree with the outline that we get the Marine Corps and the Army Corps. We get the commanders in here, and let's all try to huddle up to get on the same page, to where we're not feel like we put them in a posture that we're coming in to attack them, but we're coming in to try to get a solution and a resolution.
Well, and I like Dr. Pinto's angle that they may have a vested interest in the success of this project, because it's not beyond reason that this material would end up back in their basin. The thing about that basin is, when those ships are loaded, they don't have a lot of freeboard between the bottom of the ship and the bottom of that basin. And that's why they have to dredge every other year, because just a little bit of sediment and it can't get the ship in or out. And they need to be able to arrive, load, unload, deploy, and not be worried about whether it's high tide or not.
So looking forward then, I'll work on getting the representatives here, the commanders. Meantime, get me your budget information so I fully can get tuned into that, to where you would be doing a presentation of what basically what your budget entails, of the research that we'll be doing. And I'll work on getting the commanders here and try to that's kind of our next step, getting everybody pulled together and on board. So let I guess the next meeting, we'll kind of just leave it right now as a moving target until I can get kind of a better feeling of the commanders when they can come in and meet with us, and hopefully I can get some congressional representatives here as well, and just try to get some harmony moving this forward. So any other
yes, sir. Yep. One thing I gave to Bethany, Brian, your assistant, I sent her a Google Drive link that has all of those different presentations that we've done over the last year and a half, 2 years, with all these different agencies, Coast Guard, Army Corps, Jacksport, you name it. So that is all on a Google Drive link. That'll help you get up to speed, I would think, pretty quickly, being able to see some of those presentations. and that sort of thing. I will say, so you know what you're walking into, we have had these meetings with these various agencies. We have tried, we've had contentious ones. We've had kumbaya, join hands, let's work together sessions. And I will just tell you, they're met with the same stonewalling approach, that whether they're kumbaya or not, they're the same. And so that's what you're walking into, just knowing it. You know, I don't want you thinking that we haven't had the kumbaya moment before.
Right, understood.
Because we have. So,
like I said, said in the very beginning, I understand that, you know, there's been, this has been active, and so I'm trying to get up to speed with everything, but we've got to, we can't sit back and wait from when they're ready to feel good about coming in and fixing a problem. We've got to be proactive, and we've got to keep moving forward, and we want them, the Corps, to be a participant in this to get a solution. But regardless, we've got to go find out what the issue is and get a solution on the table that we need to, and that would be, you know, the next step there. But the step we are right here is finding out the issue and pinpointing it. And so that's where I want to, you know, get that. And I think the administration will support us from my communication with them. And this, I consider this a big environmental issue. And you know, we're destroying, or we are seeing quality of life destroyed along the river. That people's homes that used to have water are, you know, is fading away.
It seems to me too that this might be considered a resiliency issue, and there is funding for resiliency.
You see where I'm going with this. Yeah.
So actually, having said that, would it make sense to get Ann Coglianese a part of this?
Yeah, I mean, we want to get all the participation that we can.
Okay.
So
I would say at the right time.
At the right time, yeah.
I could just make it two issues I just want to throw out. And I'm familiar with some of the types of the contracts specifically for dredging, et cetera, that the Army Corps has had. And in those contracts, if it's with ABC Company, that ABC Company does the work, but then there's the caveat always, but if there's any collateral damage or something that is caused by yours, that ABC Company is on the hook for it. So I'm not sure if somehow I could get a copy of the contract to say, hey, you're not even, you know, Army Corps cooperate with us, because it's not that you're going to be on the hook for the money, for the dredging, because that's going to be, you know, I'm sure any company is going to build in sort of a little reserve in their contract in case I, you know, I have a boo-boo and I'm going to have to pay for the fixing it. So that's one part. The other thing is the reason I've been familiar with that area of the waterway for over 20 years, and I know a number of other people are familiar with that. That marries up to my saying that it's sort of like the capacity is full, which I think may beg the argument that it's only been the last few years when this shoaling has occurred, which marries up logically, I think, with the fact that that's when the house was full, and it was the capacity of the spoil site, and that's somewhat why it's all happened just in, like, where'd this come from in the last 3 years or so? And it came very quickly because, hey, they're full, and so this extra sand is coming out. And I, when talking to the dredger that I spoke to, he said, yeah, the sand is lighter, and so the sand would be the soil element, if I call it that, that would float out of the basin with that water, because it's, you know, it's just like filling this glass up, and the water's going to come out, and then the heavy stuff's going to sit in the bottom. It just makes sense. But I think there is some kind of connection between getting full, when did it get full, and then when did this spoil site or the shoaling begin?
And I think that'll be kind of the goal that they'll be doing in the study and the analysis. So, okay, any other tidbits of information? Okay, well, I think we'll go ahead and adjourn. I appreciate everybody coming out. As far as the next meeting, let me communicate with some of the other entities that we talked about, and then let me get a meeting set. Because I know we're coming up on the next 2 months. We hit all the holidays and all that, so trying to get everybody dialed in. But I know we're losing we're 10 months before they start dredging again, or 12 months when they start dredging again, but we need to be 10 months to be prepared. So I'll keep all that in mind, and as soon as I get some more information, I'll be relaying it to everybody to get a meeting on our calendar. Appreciate everybody coming out. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, okay, so this is
small one,
and this.